and welcome to Rogue Grace here on this beautiful Friday. This beautiful Friday morning. This is Pete, otherwise known as Peter John, thanking you for tuning in to this episode on this fall morning. And yesterday, last night particularly, was so great for me, for this guy. Last night, I got to MC an event, a dinner, for fundraising for the pregnancy center here in Medford. And there were a lot of people that I got to know, got to meet, the privilege of meeting for the first time. And there were also a lot of people there that I either knew or knew me, or both, from years ago, from over the eras now, the decades now of Applegate Christian Fellowship. And so it was really cool. That was cool, that part, but the event itself and the leadership of the pregnancy center, there were a lot of people there, and it was well done, the event. Except, I mean, I know I am seated, so I can say that. Even that, apart from that, I should say. I really believe in, like I bet you do, if you're pro-life, and if you're listening to K-Apple, you probably are to some extent. I really believe in that cause. It is the cause of helping single gals, young ladies often, work through their emotions, their thought process in a godly way, to come to the conclusion prayerfully, to keep the child instead of an abortion. And then they have the whole system, the process set up for adoption, if necessary, even. And to see the testimonies and hear the results, oh, I'm a real big fan, if you would, of that ministry. It really was a ministry. There was no qualms or hesitation to pray or talk about the Lord or the gospel. I was really happy and proud of that for them. But to see all the people there, and no doubt the money raised for that. So keep them in your prayers and keep rooting for them in either your prayers perhaps, or even financially. It's a wonderful cause. And they're wanting to build a new building. Because right now they're just stuffed. They're overcrowded in the facility that they're using. So much so that, you know, for things such as, they have a wonderful mobile unit, a van that can go places for women to be medically checked up on and what have you, things like that, which is great. And they'll continue to use that, but that's how crowded they are. They actually have to get mobile. But, oh man, it was a highlight of my time, of my season of ministry. It really was. And one of the little things that I got to bring up was, speaking of little, no pun intended, the children, and how Jesus said, if you even give a cup of cold water. He didn't even say even. That's what I'm adding. He says, give a cup of cold water to a child. Kiddo, a drink. You'll know by no means lose your reward eternally. What a priority Jesus gave on us and how we love on and treat children. If you offend a child, he said, on the other hand, elsewhere, it'd be better if you just threw yourself into a lake or a sea with a millstone, a half-ton stone tied to you. But what a priority on more than one occasion, even in the same Gospels. He would take a child and say, this is the example, not to grow up, but to, if you would, grow down. To be able to be like this child, to enter into the kingdom of God. You know all of those things, but to be able to see that in action was a great thing last night. Something that I'm wholeheartedly behind. And to be reminded how the Lord does love. He cares, our God does, for the little ones, the children. And so we get to as well. And then so much so, he reminds us, don't grow up, grow down. Have that simplicity, that childlike faith. You know, a kiddo, as you know, is just going to trust if he's or she's in that healthy environment. There's going to be a meal on the table. They don't have to worry or analyze it. When it's dinner time, there's going to be a plate, a dinner. They don't have to figure out how it's going to work out. It'll just be there. Because dad and mom are providing. Mom has cooked up the meal or whatever the scenario is. Dad, whatever it is, there's going to be a meal on the table. To have that kind of childlike faith today on this Friday, dear K-Apple listener. That simple faith. God will provide today. There's going to be a meal on the table. He's going to provide. Speaking of meals on the table. The book of Esther, it was at the meal at the table. She busts the villain, Haman. Where? At the table. Oh, I've done sermon on that before. I think even at Applegate. But over the years, bringing our enemy to the table. Because Esther isn't the only example of that. We're going through the book of Esther here on Rogue Grace. But she is one prime example of that. She lines up the king, Ahasuerus, with the evil man Haman at the table. This is the second day in a row this has happened. Why not the first time? It doesn't specifically say. I don't know for sure. Maybe one of the factors was that the king and Haman were, particularly the king, was already smashed. Because it makes it clear in that first feast the day before that the king drank his wine. So maybe she realized this isn't the perfect time to do this. I don't know. That's just a thought. But talk about from going on top of the world to hitting Skid Row because the covers placed upon his head. He's tied up and led to the gallows that he had built for Mordecai and the Jews. And he hangs on the 75-foot gallows that he had constructed. And that goes in the time span of 24 hours. 24 hours. From 24 hours, Haman had just been on top of the world. Here he's at the feast with the queen and the king. She says, come back tomorrow for another feast. He has to then, he comes the next morning to the king's court to try to indict and then execute Mordecai. Instead, it's turned around as we've looked at all of this in previous programs. He has to lead Mordecai, though, to his own chagrin and shame, leading the Jew through the streets of Shushan to the applause, the adulation of the people. And then he gets home and his wife says, "You're going to die." She sees the handwriting on the wall. She sees it all being played out. He's then taken to the dinner. And now, how the tables have turned. How the tables have turned. Oh, the coincidence, quote unquote, of the book of Esther. You see, here's the thing I want to point out. The king was in a quandary. Here he's at this dinner. Esther says, Mordecai. Mordecai's niece, if you would, seeing all of this come down at her uncle's advice, sets this whole thing up. And Esther says to the king, it's this man, Haman. She doesn't even use his name. She just basically says, this guy, he's the one that wants to exterminate my people. Now, the king's in a quandary. This king, we've already pointed out through this study of Esther, he was anything but a stable guy himself. He was temperamental. He was seemingly an alcoholic of sorts. But he and Haman, at Haman's own manipulation, had signed a decree that on a particular day, Esther's people would be annihilated. Genocide would take place. So the king was just as guilty. Now he's in a quandary when she, in a very shrewd way, makes sure the king isn't indicted, or she could have lost her life or been exiled like the former queen. But she is able to indict Haman. The king leaves to go on a walk to sort all of this out. Haman then begs the queen for mercy, pleads his cause. He's at his wit's end, and it says that he then falls upon her in his pleading. And the king walks in when he has fallen upon the queen. And that was what set the king off ultimately. And that is when he charges his guards, his soldiers, to take Haman to the gallows. And we've already talked about this guy, the head eunuch. We already talked about that a bit, of his position, his place, and what it means to be a eunuch for the kingdom. But the head eunuch says, oh, by the way, this guy has a 75-foot gallows that he built for the Jews, for Mordecai. And so they hang him on that very gallows now. The king was in a quandary because he and Haman had signed that deal. What's he going to do? How is he going to get out of that? He leaves the room. He comes back. Quandary solved. When Haman's on top of his wife in what was a Me Too moment, an ultimate Me Too moment. And this coincidence, quote unquote, is what allowed the king to say, hang him. So once again, the coincidences of the book of Esther. Today, nothing that happens to those who are trusting in the Lord is a, quote, coincidence. Not the things that are good, not the things that are seemingly bad. Not the people you are associated with that are your allies, nor even your enemies. Not those promotions you get, nor when you feel like you've been manipulated or even demoted. Nothing just happens. are no coincidences. You know this, but isn't it wonderful to look at the book of Esther? One Aramaic commentary says that it was an angel that pushed Haman on top of her, pushed him in the back, so he fell on her as the king walks in. That's not what the Bible says, but there are indeed powers and forces that we can't see that are behind the scenes, as we've been saying, S-E-E-N-S. So have joy. Rejoice today, no matter what the circumstances may look like, because nothing just happens. It's taking place behind what you can see. In other words, behind the S-E-E-N-S.
Come and stand before your Maker, full of wonder, full of fear. Come behold His power and glory, yet with confidence draw near. For the One who holds the heavens and commands the stars above is the God who bends to bless us with an unrelenting love. Rejoice! Come and lift your hands and raise your of the promise, the beloved of the Lord, one with everlasting kindness, bought with sacrificial blood, bringing reconciliation to a world that longs to know the affections of a Father who will never let them go. Rejoice! Come and lift your hands and raise your up the hill. He has walked this path before us. He is walking with us still. Turning tragedy to triumph, turning agony to praise. There is blessing in the battle, so take heart and stand amazed. Rejoice! When you cry to Him, He hears your voice. He will wipe away tears. Rejoice! In the midst of suffering, He will help you sing. Rejoice! Come and lift your hands and raise your voice. He is worthy of all praise. Rejoice! Sing the mercies of your King.
And so the last verse of that particular passage we've been looking at, it says, then the king's wrath was pacified. Now he had the reason to hang Haman. The king is let off the hook, even though he was himself guilty of an edict that was going to cause genocide of the Jews. All of that's being attended to, in a sense, resolved. And now he has the reason to hang Haman, because when he gets back into the room, Haman has fallen upon the queen. Just for that alone, Haman can be hung and would be on the gallows that he had made for Esther's father or slash uncle, the man that raised her. Oh, the word coincidence. I have to put that in quote unquote through the book of Esther and in your life as well. And the last verse of the chapter, chapter 7, the king's wrath was pacified. Aren't you glad that the enemy has been defeated? That his own plans for evil against both the world and for you have and will backfire? When he thought he had Christ dead to rights, nailed to the cross, the stone was rolled away. The horror that must have struck the enemy, Satan. And yet, maybe the most wondrous thing of all, in that moment, that Christ cried, "It is finished." The king's wrath was pacified. It says about the wrath of God in the New Testament, in the book of Romans, chapter 4, that the law brings forth or worketh the wrath of God. You try to earn the favor of God through your keeping of his commandments. It's only going to incite his wrath. You're going to fall short. Me too. But another place that word wrath is used, in the book of Romans. Oh, how beautiful, how wondrous it is. When it says in Romans chapter 5, verse 9, "How much more then, being justified by the blood of Jesus, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, how much more, being reconciled, shall we be saved by his life?" The wrath of God was appeased through the death of his son. We were saved by that wrath. The wrath I deserve for being an idiot, Christ took. And like the king in the story of Esther, his wrath was appeased. God's not mad or angry at me nor you today. Just like Esther was saved from the wrath of the king, as was her people, you and I have been saved by the wrath or from the wrath of the king. One place that I'm reminded of that, like in the story of Esther, is at the table. The table where she is having a meal with the king. Again, that's where, as we've pointed out before, that's where the enemy was defeated. I love how the psalmist says, "He has prepared a table for me in the midst of my enemies." You know that psalm, Psalm 23. Ah, how wonderful it is to know that even with my enemies, I come to the table. Even with my Hamans, or in the case of the gospel, with my Judases, my issues, my hangups, my idiocy, the Lord receives me and I come and dine and eat the body and the drink, the blood, the bread and the cup, and receive his forgiveness and empowered as I'm reminded of his grace. You are forgiven, dear saint. You are loved. You are favored. You are, in a sense, greater than an Esther. You are the bride of Christ, not just a Persian king. Rejoice in that. Rejoice in that today. We'll be right back.
And say I got a minute, friend, because I'd love to tell you something. You may think nothing of it, but wait, you're gonna love it. What if I told you I held the one true philosophy? Would you hear me out or just turn your back and laugh at me? Lord, I just don't understand this strange creature you call man. Thinks he lives by his own hand, but I know, I know, and I know, I know. There's no life away from me. Still in my defiance when I'm trying so hard to hold it. I held the one true philosophy. Would you hear me out or just turn your back and laugh at me? Lord, I just don't understand this strange creature you call man. Thinks he lives by his own hand. But I know, I know, I know, I know. There's no life away from me. Still in my defiance when I'm trying so hard to hold.
Uh-oh. Usually I can get away with those songs that were cool or in style back, you know, when I was a kid kind of thing, or back in the day, because I think, oh, my kids are in school, so I can get away without getting laughed at in a nice way, a respectful way, but still laughed at. But I just remembered they had no school today. I hope, I really do, that they didn't hear that. Or I'm going to hear about it. Anyways, thanks for tuning in to Rogue Grace tonight. The Vesper service at 7 o'clock. Come and join us. About 10 minutes for a message from the Bible. And then spending the rest of that time worshiping the Lord and coming to His table. That's tonight from 7 to 7:45. Thanks for tuning in. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord be glorified in your life as you realize nothing is a coincidence. He's in control. God bless you.